The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is the 29th of November, 2023. Welcome along. Hope you're well. And get the comments in there if you could. Anything. In fact, what I want to ask about today is lessons from Munger. Charlie Munger, a genius. So I want to know about your lessons as well. What have you learned? What's one of the most valuable lessons you've learned from investing? And if you could, hit that like button, subscribe to the video here, the channel. That shows we're going in the right direction. By the way, someone did say, I'm looking forward. Who is that? Michael, I think it was. Eagerly awaiting what random picks will appear on Justin's Vox homepage. Well, thanks to Rifisosoff, I discovered what it is. Apparently, it's Apple ID. If you do that on the screen, look at that. Balloons. Two fingers, V-shaped. It's just video reactions. Apparently, there's other things you can do. I've been doing that for like the last 5 minutes. Doesn't seem to work, but that one does. So I was doing two yesterday, and those balloons started coming up like that. So anyway, that's what happens randomly. Anyway, what lessons have you learned? What's been invaluable? What are you trying to stick to in some way? What kind of lesson? But Charlie Munger, of course, passed away. He was the vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, the conglomerate controlled by Warren Buffett. Buffett described Munger as his closest partner and right-hand man. In fact, I want to show you a chart of Berkshire Hathaway. This is a weekly chart going back to 1993, November, okay? And you can see there it's up 3,000% in, what, 30 years? Is that right, 30 years? Yeah. So it's doing quite well. But and what I liked about the partnership, I don't know if you've read any books about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. Very interesting. And I listen to audiobooks sometimes when I'm walking the dog. But they were both very extremely talented. And they sort of found each other. You know, they were obsessed with each other. When they found each other and got to know each other, they didn't stop talking about investing. It's like, you know, you guys and girls there who really like investing, it's a passion of mine. And, you know, they went to a party once and they didn't stop talking to each other, apparently. But together, you know, when you get two sort of very highly intelligent, very talented investors of that, and you put them together, you get a genius partnership. The synergy is phenomenal. And, you know, Warren made Charlie a better investor, and Charlie made Warren a better investor. People don't see this. Before Charlie came along, Warren Buffett was from the school of sort of Benjamin Graham. And these are like these cigar butts investing. What they do is invest in companies or try and find companies not long after the Great Depression, where they were below book value, below net assets, basically. And they're trying to find these companies really on the edge of liquidation, you know. And they say, that's a cheap company. And even if you liquidated it, it'd be worth more. And that's what they're doing. It's almost like one more puff of the cigar, you know. But then after a while, they couldn't find these companies. In fact, Benjamin Graham evolved his strategy many times from just deep value investing. And they decided, Charlie and Warren, to look at more higher quality businesses, and because they couldn't find any companies below book value, really, after the Great Depression. So they started looking at, and Charlie sort of encouraged Warren to look at more high quality businesses. And there's a quote, actually, I don't know if you saw the video on Twitter or X, where Charlie says, it's nice to invest in businesses that you know, you're trying to get a profit out of before liquidation. And that's what they used to do. And then they looked at See's Candy, which is this candy producer in America, a chocolate producer in America. And they realized you could up the price a little bit and earn a lot more profit. And if it was a high-quality brand, you could do this because it's very popular with Valentine's, all those kinds of occasions. It's a very strong brand. And they realized that pricing power and very good businesses. And so they did very well at See's Candy. And, in fact, the quote came from that. I mean, you know, Buffett, like I said, used to buy really cheap stocks. And the quote, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fake company at a wonderful price. And it was because of See's Candy, this change, you know, of looking for higher quality brands and intangible some assets that are worth something, that they, you know, end up investing in really good companies like, you know, Coca-Cola, American Express, and Apple now. So, they, you know, that was a partnership, you know, made in heaven, really. Two hugely talented people that came together. And so what I want to do is a couple of lessons. I'll put these on the website, Vox, by the way. But I'll give you a 5 out of 10 lessons you can read on the site there. And let me just share the screen here. This is Peter Kaufman put together some of the best lessons of how to invest wisely in a fantastic book. It's called Poor Charlie's Almanac, collection of speeches and talks given by Charlie Munger. Number one, risk. And we always think of this. When we invest in companies, you always think about reward first. But if you don't take care of the risk, there may be no reward. So look at the risk first. So before you invest into something, consider how risky it is. Ask a fair reward if you're taking a risk. Independence of thought. I like this. Only in fairy tales are emperors told they are naked. Sometimes going along with the crowd doesn't lead to the best results. What matters most is whether your thinking is right, not whether everyone agrees with you. Continuous preparation. He said, the only way to win is to work, and hope to have a few insights. Keep learning throughout your life by reading and staying curious. Ask why to understand things better. There's always that, isn't there? We're always a little bit worried about asking why on certain things. You know, it may look stupid, but that's how you find out. That's how you learn. Intellectual humility. Being wise starts with knowing what you don't know. That's very good, that. And in fact, Charlie Munger's almost investment thesis, a lot of times, he almost used to work backwards and say, okay, what would a very stupid thing, what would a stupid person do here? If I was stupid, what would I do here? How would I invest in this? And then try and do the opposite, you know? An analytical rigor. Use a careful method and checklist to avoid mistakes. Tell the difference between what something is worth and what something costs. And even those five little lessons there, I think are genius, you know? Like I said, when you're looking at stuff like that, you know, there's a price to everything on the stock market. But what's it worth? And what's the future worth of that company? What's the reward there, you know? Anyway, some couple of comments. Join in the comments. Hit that like button if you could. AI investor, what a unique and great guy Charlie Munger was, and happy to share his secrets to success too. Yeah, if you literally have not, checked out Charlie Munger, just, I think there's a couple of videos going around about him, but he's very quick and a very sharp guy. We'll be having some peanut brittle and Coca-Cola today in his honor, bona fide legend. Yeah. Would Munger buy any of your positions, Justin? No. I mean, they're into big companies, aren't they? They're talking about a return on, capital employed, pretty much, return on equity. And so with the size money they can have, they can take big positions in, stocks, and they don't need a big percentage gain. But I find, big companies boring. Having said that, I think there's general rules for every investor, but there are different parts of the market. Like I said, I like smaller cap stocks. They're very risky and very rewardy, but that's why you have to know the risk. The same, you have to know what the risk is. Absolutely know what the risk is first before you invest. If you don't know what the risk is and the reward is, how do you know? First of all, find out the value of your company. What do you think it's worth? Why is it going to generate more value? There are basic principles to every stock and company, isn't there, really? Big lessons, be patient with your investments. Yeah. Again, what I like investing, it's no hard and fast rules, is there? Like, be patient, but if the business is not, going according to plan, you've got to bail. If the investment premise you got in for initially changes, you've got to get out. Bitcoin, rat poison, RIP Charlie, that's what Tom says, yeah. Let's have a look. Munger spoke a lot of sense, a great guy for a quote. In fact, going back to that, what you said there, would he invest in my companies? They were literally investing in bombed out companies that are on the edge of liquidation. That's their initial thesis. That's Benjamin Graham's thesis. So they're really bad companies. And in fact, Berkshire Hathaway is named after a mill that was going bust. So, and they changed their investment thesis to invest in quality companies. So it's about evolving as well, I suppose. Justin and John, the Buffett and Munger of modern times? No. let's have a look. I've read that Munger was influenced by Philip Fisher, yeah, known as Buy and Hold, e.g. Texas Instruments and Motorola, both very early on. Charlie Munger loved reading autobiographies to absorb the lessons from greats. They're both massive readers. Warren Buffett, and I think someone was doing an interview with Warren, and what struck him when he went to see him day after day, he was always reading, normally financial reports and stuff like that. But, and Charlie said normally, they're both very intelligent guys. I think there's a quote saying Charlie used to walk into a room and say, I was normally could hold my own intellectually, but when you walk into the room, I was up there. But when you're in a room with Warren, there's no one that touches him. But together, they're amazing. Okay. Informer, if you focus on the risk before reward, then you would have loads of research into stocks when you don't have to do any hard work and just hodl Bitcoin. I said to our risks. I mean, if you're talking small caps, of course, a loss of it in companies, for example, the first biggest risk is not having cash. Where does the cash come from? And so the first thing you should look at for any loss of it in companies, how much cash they have. And especially in this market, we've seen companies go through, you know, on a weekly basis on AIM now because they don't have cash, they can't raise the money. There's so many things viewers can take from Charlie. I'd highly recommend learning as much as you can. Can you have too many contrarians? Yes. If you have too many contrarians, that's the market, isn't it? Cheeky little placing from Silver Bullet this morning. Have you seen that? I'll get to it in a bit. But let's have a look. Let's first look at the indices. Let's see what happens in the market. Any lessons learned? Let me know. What do you stick by? What do you do when you're looking at a stock? What's one thing you've learned that you should look for? This is the market's FTSE 100. This is down a smidge, 0.08%. Ocado, John's favorite, is up there. Biggest rise of the day. JD Fashion. In fact, I just got an alert on JD Fashion. Let me just go to it. I'm a weekly here. Let me go daily. It just hit the 200-day moving average. JD dot. So there we are. I did draw these lines in there. So these are basically higher highs. And that the red mark is a lower high. And then it dipped down, 200-day moving average, bounced down. And if you see, broke down here. And again, you've got these lower highs there. And by the way, these are higher highs. But you see, it's having a little bounce. It's trying to get above that 200-day moving average. It's a quality company. It's one of those ones that's multi-bagged over time. Look at that on the chart there. It's one of those companies you should always look at. When you're looking at, you know, past performers, past winners, this is one of the stocks you should always look at. And they pretty much always did above 20% top-line growth and earnings growth. And it's a fabulous stock. Look at that. It's gone from like six pence. Yeah. Up to, £2.23. So we're... In fact, it was a lot less than that, wasn't it? Look at that. It was down at literally, 2 pence, 1 pence. So it's more than 10 bagger there. But very impressive. But, of course, it's a big cap now. But never in advance. Anyway, JD Sports. Oh, it's just going to number one position. Ocado. A different kind of animal, that, isn't it? Let's look at Ocado chart. Yeah, it's trying to bounce. Yeah, high load there. It's and a big rally here. Maybe shorts covering. I don't know. Who knows what's going on there? But now it's going back down and trying to get above those previous highs. But anyway, FTSE down a smidge, 0.8%, 0.08%. FTSE 250 up a 0.25%, pretty much. And the AIM All share just shy of up 0.25%. Okay, let's look at the front page of Vox here. See what is making the news. The headlines there. I tell you what, Empire Metals are soaring, aren't they? They've a record titanium grades at Pitfield Project. This was a bombed out stock for so long when they're in for Russia, that area. It was so bombed out. And sometimes, you know, big winners have to come from that, but make sure in them, some of that. I mean, yeah, look at that. That's where it's come from. Up here, it was, you know, 160 a share back in 2007, crashed. Burned, and then last couple of sessions, phenomenal rise. If you look at taking it from the sort of breaking the 200 average last time, it's got by 515% in the last 150 days, pretty much. So it's doing well. So let's move this around a bit. So that's 80s Energy raises 5.3 million to fund projects in Alaska and Namibia. Arrow Exploration delivers strongest quarter to date. By the way, I chatted to Jonathan Owens of Metals One. Very interesting what they're doing there. They're in the critical metal space in Europe. And of course, if most resource companies are in questionable jurisdiction. And that's one of the reasons I don't invest in resource stocks anymore, is because they're in these, you know, jurisdictions that are highly risky. It's a risk. You know what you have to do sometimes to get a deal done, but they are in Scandinavia, and this they're drilling now. They're about to start drilling next to Europe's largest operating nickel mine. And of course, you know anything about geology, that area there, they've already had good grades and stuff, but they're doing diamond drilling, and they've got lots of news coming out. So and they're obviously, you know, there's very few. The market is very big for, of course, automotives in Germany, all that place needs to supply these metals, and they are well placed in that jurisdiction. So very interesting there. Let's have a look at the list here. Most followed companies: Empire Metals, Silver Bullet. Someone did say to me, why didn't you talk about your stocks and talk about the market cap and all that? And I said, I don't focus on my stocks so much. The odd business. You're ramping. This is they just raised £1 million, right? And I said in a video I did earlier, because I do hold stock in this company, I said, the only short-term concern here is they may need to raise money. They had about £700,000. They had a lot of cash burn from developing 4D AI as a product, but that has dropped off massively. Their cash burn was down to about $200,000 a month, and they had about $700,000, and they're going to get the profitability in 2024. So they may need to raise money. That's the thing. They've done that now. And if you saw the chart there, I don't, it's crazy. So they raised money at 70 pence, was it? But it's already up today. And I did say, you know, once this worry is removed, I think it will move properly, because there's a little bit of worry about funding. And literally, it went down to 80 pence, 79 pence, 80 pence. And now it's almost at an all-time high, recent high. So it's been bought massively. You don't see that very often. That is very bullish. And you get a discounted placing, and the stock is bought up straight away. So it's, I'd like to see that. And they did say, actually, in the release here, that they've got very big demand for their AI products. Worth just researching this company, I think. I mean, you know, deprecations of third-party cookies are very interesting. Google is the biggest player in that space with Google Chrome. And, of course, you have to find other ways of targeting advertisers. Okay, so Neo Metals. Was funny. Ethiniti, what's happening with that? Ethiniti, they've landed a contract. I thought they were on the edge of going bust. It is the biggest rise today. Here, up 167%. What's the market cap? 2.16. I'm not interested in this devil costume. For heaven's sake, Etsy or Kim Jong-un. This is the problem with cookies, you see. They're obviously not that. I've never searched for that in my life. Significant contract, valued at 800,000. As a result of this contract, total cash collection for Affinity is expected to total 1.5 to 1.7 during Q4. Okay. So are they okay now? Are they out of the woods? Because there was a time when they were, you know, going to the wall. In fact, talk about going to the wall. This company here, Tintra, I didn't understand. There's a lot of these cross-banking platforms popping up, crypto, and this was promising a lot for a long time. And now their intention is to seek cancellation from trading on AIM. I think this was the second company yesterday that was, has gone off AIM now. In the last 2 days. Who's the other one? Real Good Food. Do you remember, I covered a bit of news on these. They basically, I don't see why this is a listed company. There we are. Intent to appoint administrators, share suspension. Do you remember they disposed of the Rainbow Dust Colors? They sold Rainbow Dust Colors for what? 800 grand. Talking about fairy dust and Fugazi. What? But it's basically doing baking stuff. And you think sometimes maybe these companies listed when they, you know, when the markets were liquid, and it seems a good thing to do. But, you know, the costs of listing are not cheap. Right about, what, $500,000 maybe a year? So you need to cover that. If I've got any more stuff, let's just cover some quotes there. Was it impossible to take advantage of the outset when the price was below one pound? Yeah, Simona, I did try to buy some more on the dip. Couldn't get a quote for anything. So I don't know, people may have faster fingers than me on the trigger there. I couldn't get any. Back then, no internet. Information was king. Yeah. Well, information is even more king now, isn't it? Or is it not? Ocado move follows chairman buying 53 grand's worth of Steve of stock. Oh, okay, so the chairman's lumping in, is he? Marvelous stuff. So GS, they're going to buy this cross-border payment company, apparently. Are they up? No, they're not moving there. GS, KLS. These are the most red, by the way. Mosman on gas operations and placing down 37%. This is how hard it is in the market to place. Look at that. 250 grand. That's at a massive discount. It's going down there. What else is there? Equals strategic review. I think they've extended that. They're asking to extend that, but they've called up a couple of companies here. Who else did they call up? Madison Durbin Partners to assess whether such party could put forward a proposal that would deliver greater value to he calls shareholders and pursuing a standalone independent strategy. They do so say that, current trading continues to be in line with board's expectations and the board remains confident in the long-term growth prospects of the business. Maybe you should ask Paul again. If they are confident in the long-term growth prospects, you know, why do they need to ramp up shareholder value? Because they've done very well, haven't they? Let's look at the chart of Equals. EQLS. Look at that. If you scroll out, decent return from 2020, last 3 years. Not many companies get that return. I think you're doing well, lads. Crack on. Hey, my thoughts. Not really boardroom patois, is it? Still a bullet raising money. Let's look at myself. Rises. Anything on news yet? Empire Metals yet? Contract. Future Metals. No, performance rights, nothing there. In fact, one of the surprising fallers today is Halfords. And this is quite telling. It's quite a big read across from the industry. And this, I think, posted they've narrowed the profit range. They do say, while B2B businesses and needs base categories continue to show strong growth, they're volatile in the first year. But they did say it's, you know, discretionary categories and consumer facing, it's looking tough. Underlying markets needs base categories, retail and motoring services, so strong growth in line. However, there we are. There's the however. Always worry about the however. Trading in discretionary markets, just cycling, was challenging and below expectations due to a well-documented and consumer environment. You're getting a lot of this now. And I don't see it getting any better. I don't know about you, what your thoughts are, but do you see, and do you want Halfords? We've done one down the road from us and we've dealt quite a lot with them. Excellent customer service. Really are impressed with it down by us. I dealt with them quite a lot. In fact, my son's bike was nicked. He was a month old and it was nicked, and they couldn't be more helpful aside from getting the bike back. But you do see this a lot now. I mean, if you look at even big brands like Diageo and all that, consumer facing brands, they're suffering. And I can't see this getting any better in the new year, you know. You know, because interest rates are going to stay high in the cost of living. Inflation is not coming down. It's slowing, but food prices are not coming down. It's still, I think, was it 4% up? It was the slowest rise in the last few months. But, you know, prices are still going up. And people are, you know, there'll be people remortgaging, you know, and you, especially things like we covered this recently, but what was it? Motorpoint, again, you know, a good example look at that. Good example of people not buying big ticket items, especially when you have finance attached and the finance is costing you 10% a year, you know. So be aware, if you know, of these companies. Do you see them coming out with any more bullish updates in the next 6 months? I don't. You know, you've got to be careful the sectors you're investing into, because I don't see it getting any easier. And in fact, very interesting today, Bill Ackman, a billionaire investor, has said that he's betting the Fed will have to reduce interest rates quicker and sooner than people think. And he's going for Q1 next year, which is unusual because most people say in the back end of, you know, 2024. And he says this is because, in fact, this, I'll bring it up on the page here, but he says, evidence in that some of our companies you're seeing, investing companies, what's going to be interesting is to see what happens when people have to reprice their debt. And I think that can sort of have like a cliff-like effect. Because remember, you know, I assume most people on mortgages have 2 or 3 year deals. So most of them, you know, haven't renewed yet, or a lot of them haven't renewed. There's still a lot of people that haven't, you know, at a higher level. So it's not going to get any easier for the consumer. Even if interest rates are coming down next year, they're not going to come back from, you know, 5.25% down to sort of 3% in one big jump. So it's going to be, you know, harder for longer if they keep them higher for longer. Anyway, so in real estate, he said, I think they're going to cut rates, and I think they're going to cut rates sooner than people expect. It's all I think there. There's no evidence whether that were true or not. But I suppose if you're Bill Ackman, you have to make an early prediction. If you're right, you call a genius. If you're wrong, people forget about it. You know, so you can do that. Look at Bill. If he's right, you're a genius. But, you know, very interesting there on that. Any comments on the thing? Well, Dagger, you just took the words out of my mouth. There's rumours the Fed cutting rates early next year. This will increase liquidity. Good for equity. Yeah, very good for equity. Yeah, again, you know, the economy and the markets, two different things. If interest rates come down, of course, you get that hit from people taking money out of market funds as well, because they can get, if it comes down to, you know, below 5% or something, so, well, I can get more than this in the markets. The markets are rallying. If the markets start rallying because of that, they'll be like, okay, I'm now going to take a bit of risk in the markets because they're going upwards. But yeah, but I do think the economy, especially in consumer facing, discretionary, is going to find it tough for a while. Anything else? Can other companies jump into silver bullet space, or does it have IP? It's got IP. They do sort of basically they're 4D reads video, you know, pretty much. And it took, and then it'll tell sort of potential investors whether it's a good space, a good return on investment from if it's on YouTube in these channels, whatever. So look at different channels, connected TV, we do all that. There's a lot of contextual. Before cookies came along, contextual sort of, you know, advertising was how it went. But that's gone full circle. But they're more into that video. It reads video and brands and recommends to companies whether it's appropriate area, safe, reliable and relevant place for them to advertise. But no, there's IP there. Check it out. Yeah, gold, Mr. Steve, gold moving on up. Interest rate drops next year being priced. Yeah, so I did look at gold. And it's funny you see this because it's trying to break the. Let's get on the chart here. Gold. There we are. There's the gold chart. And you can see previously on gold, this level here, pretty much what? 2018. It's, you know, one, was that 2020, August 2020. It tried it again in March 2022, and again in May 23, and now again. It's going to break it sooner or later, isn't it? I mean, you can see there, you know, it's come up there and come back down. It hasn't come back down as low as this. So it's a lower high, higher low, I mean. It may break it. And even to gold, what's your gold? Is it gold ETF scores? If you're going for gold, what's your play on gold, guys and girls? Let me know. I've done there. What else is on Voxer? EdTech. Oh, has that just come through? EdTech technical service agreement for plant. Is that a nurse? It's down 6% on that. Why is that? Let's look at the chart on EdTech. I know it was a very popular stock at the time, but. Oof, that's not looking too good, is it? How many are you starting to put a 20-day moving average on now? Just have a look at it. Just see where we are. Look at that. Didn't even break it. Look, all the way down. From the first breakdown, it didn't. From November 21, it broke down. In July 21, didn't break above that. Didn't close above it. Since November 2021. That's 2 years ago. I'm good at maths, am I? Two years ago. There we are. There's the balloons. Yeah, unbelievable. What was other? Was other? I'm sure I saw something else here. Verditech. Yes. Ooh. 44% down. Why? It's the F word. Funding. This is a financing update. They are literally a market cap of 0.78, 700 million grand. That's what they are. Now you have to understand, you know, listing costs are close to that. I'm not far off, you know. They say the International Green Technology Company develops, manufactures, and sells lightweight solar panels, provides the following update on its financial position. The company's limited cash resources, as in everyone. And we'll need to conclude some form of fundraising or recapitalization within the next 4 to 12 weeks. Well, what is it, 4 or 12? Because that's quite a big gap there. The company is actively exploring a number of options. In particular, the company is in discussion with a potential strategic partner active in the solar energy space, considering a possible collaboration, including taking a significant stake in the company and possible joint venture. However, there can be no certainty as to the outcome of these discussions. Lesson, you know, loss-making companies, they've got to have cash. They've got to have cash. 12 months runway, at least. Let's have a look at how do you work that out? Let's have a look at how much they burned in 6 months. This is their interim results, okay? So you can quickly look at the loss of the period, you know, operating loss, 945. It's better look at the cash flow statement, see how much came in and came out. So, of course, cash flow statement broken into 3 years, operations, investing, and financing. So you look at the operations, net cash outflow, what you want, of course, in brackets. You ideally want not with brackets, and you want an inflow. So £843,000, which is now larger than their market cap, but that's the cash they had. And how much cash they have then? Cash becomes the end of period, £135,000. They ain't got enough, eh? Shortfall. So you can see there, that's an issue. And also, what else was there? I'm surprised LifeSafe Holdings, anything these days. Any of you, any AI bots, geniuses out there, I do want a program to scroll through all the RNSs to pick up exceeding expectations, ahead of expectations. Those two phrases I want you to see. Doesn't work anymore. Or maybe not on shared screen. So LifeSafe Holdings, 3.76 million. They're a holding company. That's the market cap, by the way. Just sub 4 million. So it's a nano cap. Operates fire safety technology business with innovative fire safety products that develop what the board believes to be market disrupting eco-friendly fluid that extinguishes five types of fire. Five types of fire. Right, come on, here's a quiz. Name five types of fire. I can think of one. Hot. But there's a trading update. Oh, director's buying, is he? No, he's just transferring some after that. But trading update here on Friday, and they say the group has continued to generate considerable sales growth through its consumer channels in the period, with revenue of approximately 5.4 million. That's 62% ahead of the same period last year. So that's good, isn't it? I mean, you know, literally, you know, not even one-time sales. Extraordinary sales growth has been achieved almost exclusively through the group's digital consumer channels in the UK and US, which underlines the appeal of both Safe and Style 5-in-1 and All-in-1. Where's the however? Here we are. Here we go. The exceptional sales growth has been, however, impacted by recent increases in the group's costs of digital advertising and logistics as the company has scaled at pace, particularly in the US. As a consequence, the group has now had to spend significantly more over recent months than previously expected, with the conclusion of November 23 sales period, including backfire. The group will not attain monthly EBITDA profitability in Q4 as previously hoped. They hoped that. The board guides that full year loss before interest tax, depreciation, and amortization will be higher than current market expectations, with underlying loss before tax expecting the range of 1.3 to 1.5. Okay, do they say anything about cash there? They don't say anything about cash. So they're saying they lose about 1.5 million. So the interim results, what cash do they have? They had net debt. That's the issue there. So they ain't got no cash. They got debt. Okay. So you can see why it's taking such a big hit. Down 41%. Again, you know, if we look at the losers here, it's largely, you know, delisting. In fact, Vertex, it's a bigger drop than a company that's delisting. Funding, placing, they've got some funding there. Distribution finance, what's happened there? Let's have a look here. Trading statement. Oh, I've not seen that. Oh, there's some issues there with an update relating to a large single obligator's arrears balance. Right. Okay. I was looking at these recently. Well, in fact, they came up on a couple of filters I was looking at. But companies with high operating margins, return on equity, that kind of thing. I think it was in tribute to Munger and Buffett. But they came up a couple of times. But that trading statement, of course, you've got to wait, because some of our screeners, they are historical. You know, they're looking at last year's results. And of course, last results can be like 12 months off. So you've got to make sure you look at trading statements and all that and see how they're trading in the meantime. But there we are. Okay, Halfords down again. Let's look at the Halfords chart, HFD. Oh, look at that. So, yeah, it had a massive rally, didn't it, after COVID? I remember that. I didn't jump in. I went to it. I realized everyone was going to get on bikes. I thought they're going to be a benefactor of that. They just rallied crazy. 154 to 425. Look at that. 200 moving average. Come down. Try to break above it again. Came down again. And literally now we are in this sort of range. And in fact, it's not broken the bottom end of that range, Halfords. But worth waiting for the final results. I think these days it's worth waiting. If you're thinking of investing in a company, and final results are on the corner, it's worth waiting. You never know. In this market, one negative in the final results can tank the stock. So let's go back to Munger and say, patience. You know, wait. You've always got more time. So unless a company knocks it out of the park, you know, in this environment, the share price isn't going to rally like crazy, especially bigger caps anyway. So it's worth waiting, I think. But yeah. Like I said, because the market is not rewarding, even if you're in line, you know, if there's any negative in there, it's tanked. Okay, so gold moving up. Riftov, my play on gold is holding the big two royalty companies. Okay, what are they? Mr. Steve, Barrick and Perseus for gold. Here plus sentiment. Is it CYE, Egypt risk, but decent boss. And the US job report comes on Friday. Job report that is on Friday. If it's worse, the chance of cutting in rates increases. What's happened to Polly? Any idea? I have no idea. I look at the chart in a bit. Mr. Steve, five types of fire. Good. Class A, combustible materials. Class B, flammable liquids. Class C, flammable gases. Class D, burning metals. Electrical fires. Class F, cooking oils and fats. Oh, I see. There we are. We learn something new every day, don't we? And he just ahead of Riffisov on that. Riffisov, Steve, you're fast. Mr. Steve says, I'm a bot, Riffisov. Working for Skynet. Roger. AF, COD, GGP. Wonder if I look at those in chart quickly. Polly, what's that with Polly? Someone did say, I think, the other day, is Polly going bust or something? I don't know what. What's Polly? Where are we? Paul. I don't know what the ticket is there. GGP. Oh, you look at the GGP of gold, saying. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, let's go to the chart there. It's rallying nicely, GGP, isn't it? When you get a high P stock like that, it's done very well. Like, what did it do? It did 2,393. That's why people hang around in the small cap areas. If we look back at Berkshire Hathaway, they did 3,000% in 30 years. No? It's more consistent, yes. And doesn't go up and down. But GGP did 400% in 375 years, in 1 year, compared to 30 years. That's the difference between microcaps. Big caps, but it's trying to rally now. When you get a hype stock of that, and it starts to, you know, come from an oversold position, and you can see here previous support around this level, and it's broken that, and even the downtrend and channel that broke up, and now starting to move. PAF, you say? Oh, Pan African Resources. Ooh. Okay, yeah. So it's well. Look at that. You got it. Maybe that series of high lows there. Looking quite good, breaking 200 moving average. And once it's broken that, it's gone back down. You see, that is not the time to buy. You wait for a new break of that high above 200 day. And you sort of got it here, pretty much, haven't you? Up on this level. What else did you say? One more. Oh, COD. Yeah. COD's done well, isn't it? Recently, have a look at the chart there. COD. Okay. Gosh, it's 22 already. COD Minerals. Oh, yes, come down a little bit. Yeah, that's right, strongly from these days. Anyway, that's just want to go through some macro stuff. Look at this. Consumer increase borrowing at fastest pace in 5 years. British consumers increased the pace of their borrowing by the most in 5 years in the 12 months to October, according to the Bank of England data published today, which underscored the impact of the high cost of living households. Consumer credit grew by 8.1%. The most, I've said that already. And this is, who's this? Paul Dales, chief UK economist of Capital Economics, says some of this might be because the cost of living crisis has forced some households to borrow to fund necessary spending, which is a worry, isn't it? Net borrowing by consumers of just under £1.3 billion in October suggested higher interest rates were yet to significantly crimp spending by individuals. So he's saying something else there, but there we are. So Bank of England also, lenders approved 47,383 mortgages for house purchases last month. It's amazing that, isn't it? In 1 month in the UK, 47,383 mortgages approved. It's quite a lot, isn't it? That was above the 45,000 expected. This is getting on my nerves. I did say this. Do you remember a while back, supermarkets said they weren't profiteering from the inflation thing? And all of a sudden, they come in front of the government and they started doing a price war and started bringing their prices down. Oh, really? Coincidence, was it? But now the makers of some popular food brands have raised prices by more than their cost over the past 2 years, according to the UK's competition watchdog, like baby formula and all that stuff. Yeah, it's just annoying. The baby formula. Profiting from, well, of course, you have to profit from it, but not, you know, really pushing your price up, saying, oh, it's inflation. You know, yeah, it's inflation. Yeah. Now, look at this. I can't see this catching on. I listened to this actually on Radio 5 Live, Wake Up to Money podcast. I was walking the dog today. Uber launches black cab signups. Sworn enemy. Aren't they Uber drivers of black cabbies? And so Licensed Taxi Driver Association, which represents 10,000 members, said it was not consulted ahead of Uber's unilateral announcement. And Steve McNamara said joining Uber would be sullying the trade. That would be sullying the black cab, you know, trade. We would not dabble with those. They are the sworn enemy, mate. In fact, that's what one of the guys said on Radio 5 Live. He said, they are the sworn enemy. I would never, ever join Uber. They don't know how to drive taxis. That's what one guy said. They're not qualified to drive taxis. I can't see that. Uber said a small number, quotation marks, of cab drivers have already signed up. I can't see that working out, really, can you? How would that work as well? If you tell your mates, if you're a black cab driver, you say, oh, I'm never going to sign up that app. And all of a sudden they see you pulling up to someone, you know, who's looking at the Uber app. So he's, traitor! But the old, coal Scargill days, wasn't it? Thatcher against the coal board. Scargill, scum! Yay! Anyway, that's it there. That's a talking podcast. All right. Poly cancelled London listing and is now only on AIX market now. Okay. Franco-Nevada funded Barrick Gold with much better stock performance over many years. AIX is the Kazakh market. Marvellous. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, if you could, thumbs up. Hit that like button. You're supposed to give a thumbs up. Apple FaceTime video reactions. Subscribe to the channel. You've got to hit 5,000 by year end. If not, and don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free to use, but honestly, you will find it valuable. Priceless even. RNSs arrive straight to the front screen of your smartphone. All you have to do is log in, follow some companies you're interested in, and whenever they release an RNS, you get it sent straight to you. Thank you very much. Mr. Steve, thank you. Gregory, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. We should have an end of show where you say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, and speaky tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.